You're listening to Perspectives on Health and Tech, a podcast by Cerner, where we chat about topics, have conversations on creating a seamless and connected healthcare world where everyone thrives.
In this episode, recorded at Oracle Cerner Middle East and Africa Collaboration Forum in spring 2022, an expert panel hosted by Dr. Mohamed Arayas of Oracle Cerner addresses how recent advancements in data and technology, from the clinical level to the system level, have enabled healthcare innovation across the Middle East.
I'm very privileged to be joined by our panelists here. My name is Mohamed Arayas. I'm the lead physician executive for Cerner here in the Middle East and Africa. And we have with us today from Hamad Medical Corporation in Qatar, Dr. Ali Latif, who is the director of executive director for planning and performance. Welcome, Dr. Ali. We have with us Engineer Azam Al Amro, Chief Information Officer from Prince Sultan Military Medical City. Hello, Engineer. We have with us Dr. Mohamed Al Hamid, the Director of Center of Health Care Intelligence from King Faisal Specialist Hospital and Research Center in Saudi Arabia. And last but not least, we have Dr. Sadiq Anwar, Consultant Physician and Clinical Associate Professor of Medicine from Abu Dhabi Health Services Company, Saha, here in the UAE. Welcome. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation. And we do have a packed agenda for this panel discussions. We're going to discuss where we are today. We're going to speak about some of the fundamental aspects of data and analytics and how the respective organizations of our panelists are dealing with those. Then we're going to go through some amazing innovations utilizing data and artificial intelligence. And we will wrap up with what are the future views and what's going to happen next for our region that will be shared with our panelists. We're seeing a huge pipeline of database innovations coming out, King Faisal Specialist Hospital and Research Center. And I think one of the main aspects of that is understanding what's driving your organization, what's really pushing your organization to explore this frontier and push forward by doing more and exploring more and pushing more innovations out there. What are the key drivers in your organizations?
I think this is an excellent question. First of all, I think our experience in KFSH, specifically with Cerner, is that we wanted to be the lead when it comes to technology, and that brings us a lot of responsibility on how we can lead the healthcare centers and the healthcare providers to the point where you wanted really to estimate what would be the future. And the AI center, for example, was able to drive a lot of system out of the pipeline for one reason, is that you wanted to be the innovator hub when it comes to data and monetizing the data in your own benefit. So the second thing is we do have a huge amount of data collectively for the past decades. And when we look into the data, we don't look at the data as something that we want to describe, analyze, and bring up as a dashboard. We wanted to humanitize the data. We wanted to bring the centric of the patient around the surfaces. We wanted to make sure that we understand the dimensions that is not showing by vital signs, that is not showing by the lab's results. We wanted to know the patient experience, how do they feel when they come to the OR, how do they feel when they come to the visit. That's why when we started the innovation, the first project was patient experience. When AMFAL was established, we wanted to predict the satisfaction score ahead of their appointment. Plus, we wanted to see anxiety, level of stress, for example, when it comes to the patients. So, for example, we see a loss of cancellation risk when it comes to the OR and surgeries. And we, when we looked into the data, it tells us that there is an issue and there is a high cancellation rates available in the hospital. So what we went back and analyzed, not only the data, but we sat down with the champions. So we call the champions are the clinicians, nurses at the front line, physician, consultant, surgeons, and they tell us the stories. They tell us what the patient go through. And we realized that the loss of those kind of data is being captured in the systems, but is missing the patient context. The patient has to go through in order to get that medical services. So we realized that's a loss of cancellation coming up from a simple causes. For example, lack of knowledge. lack of accommodation with the concerns that the patient has. And when we go, for example, with typical use cases, I think we mentioned a couple of use cases related to the no-show. A lot of those use cases can be solved not only by AI, but also by using very simple technology. So today we predict, for example, whom might miss their appointments, and we connect that with a call center. And using only 3,000 calls, we were able to save $27 million just for reducing the no-show rate from 13% to only 9%. And I think that's the impact that we wanted to drive in the hospital.
No, that's definitely a unique case here. But you are also one of the very few organizations in the region where you have a dedicated department for artificial intelligence. So what's the role of the organizational leadership in actually driving these innovations?
I think that was one of the key success factors, is that they need to believe in the data and how to drive a data-driven hospital. So there is a huge belief in what we are doing, but before that, we wanted to make a process. So the first thing that we established is the governance, and I think that have been mentioned a couple of times already in the speakers before ahead of us. Governance was the key thing, is how we can determine that this use case, for example, has the highest ROI when it comes to utilizing and modeling the data dimensions. Plus, we wanted to make sure that has the applicability. So the physicians, the consultants believe what we are doing. And without the management support, definitely we won't be able to really move forward with what we have been doing. So the strategy, for example, was the key things. We know for sure what are the key issues that the hospital has. We directing our AI teams towards achieving how to contribute towards those kind of pillars, and then we drive slowly the systems and the models that contribute to doing that.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing these insights, because definitely there is a huge role for organizational leadership. There is a huge role for governance to drive all of these innovations. Which brings me to a question with you, Engineer Azam, because you also have that drive to utilize the data in your organization from the very top of your organization. And having said that, you went live on your Cerner system robot quite recently. So how have you been working on establishing the analytics function within your organization to support the operations of your organization?
Actually, Dr. Mohammed, we started at the initial phase of the project. We formulated a data governance team at the initial stage with other teams. And this team consists of quality department team, clinical team, and IT and health informatics. This team responsible to formulate an adaptive framework. We used a socio-technical framework, and we segregate the KPIs, measurement KPIs, in different levels, starting from departmental, then hospital level, and finally corporate levels. And actually, we also introduced a mechanism of reporting for these KPIs, and it's governed by a digital transformation committee. When we now establishing a way of meeting frequently to check our KPIs and our achievements and our maybe issues and problems during utilization and the performance of the system. And report and develop an improvement plan for it.
One of the words that you stressed on in your answer was having the right team. And having the right people is always something important, which brings me to a question to you, Dr. Ali. During the pandemic, we've seen a lot of analytics innovations coming out of HMC at a very high pace. And I keep on wondering, what is the role of having the right core team at your organization that have the right core skills in driving these innovations and improving the pace as you go forward? Because we all know how challenging it is to get the right people. So what can you tell us about that?
Thank you. I think I'll echo some of the my other colleagues' points about having a plan and knowing where you want to get to. Because I think at any stage of your sort of data maturity, analytics maturity journey, you'll need a different set of skills. So you might be starting off with ad hoc reporting, very simple reports. You need a different set of people. You start looking at sort of more predictive analytics. You need to start looking at sort of data scientists, data engineers, getting the right infrastructure and architecture in place, and you know the modelers, et cetera, once you get a lot more sophisticated. There's no point buying in lots of sophisticated analysts if your data and your governance isn't right. I mean, that's really important. However, having said all that, you might be at a stage where you're doing all that sophisticated work, but you're still doing the simple work too. So getting that balance in the team, you cannot have an unbalanced team. I think that's the first point. Getting the technical expertise right is important. However, there's also a whole load of soft skills, I think, that also you need to be looking out for, especially as you get more sophisticated and mature. Do your analysts really understand the business? Are they comfortable speaking with clinicians, managers, CEOs, whoever it is? Do they really understand the business needs? Going back to Dr. Mohammed's point, how do you pick what analytics projects you need to? And you're relying on your analysts and your leadership in that unit to really gauge and have a part, you know, have a finger on the pulse of the business. That's really important. Thinking creatively. There's more than one approach, and again, Dr. Mohammed, said it doesn't have to be sophisticated. If a simpler piece of analysis can do the job, then do it. Don't go produce an AI model for something that can be done very simply. And again, that's a bit of common sense, a bit of judgment, and that's harder. It's harder to attract those sorts of people. Lots of technically very gifted people, but do you have gifted people who can also do those things as well? That's really important. So getting the right talent, having a sort of training development plan, because you might start off with someone who's very technically adept. You might want to start developing those softer skills. And so as you're maturing as a department, your staff are maturing too, your assets are maturing. Obviously, you supplement them, you buy people in, but the sustainable model is to try and train who's there, they understand the data, they understand the environment, they understand the culture. I think it's far more sustainable that way.
There are also other stakeholders like the end users. And which brings me to a question to you, Dr. Sadiq. You being a physician yourself, and you've been involved in many analytics and intelligence and research projects over the past couple of years, or perhaps when you joined 4 years ago. How do you see the role of clinicians and end users and actually driving these innovations, taking the lead on data-related innovations in general and in your organization particularly?
Thank you for this question, actually. And all my panelists alluded to all the problems which we have to address to reach what we want to do, the absolute nirvana of AI and predictive analysis. I want to illustrate my answer with an example, a use case. I'm a nephrologist. One of the most common problems in the hospital is acute kidney injury. And we know AKI is big. Google, the first use case they entered in healthcare was AKI. You know the DeepMind Nature paper. So I want to find out how many patients with have AKI in hospital. It's a patient safety thermometer index now. And so we were the first healthcare organization in Middle East to have the AKI algorithm built in. So when we figured out AKI as a problem, and the cause for AKI is usually water imbalance in the hospital, so we started developing a plan, a process in place. Then the team who's here helped me build order sets to better define the kind of AKI we're getting. This is building in formulas like FINA, TTKG, and other things. Then we started integrating our dialysis machines to our EMR. So we got even better quality data. So we got the CRRT machines integrated to our EMR. Now we have got dedicated dialysis prescriptions, CRRT prescriptions in EMR. So increasingly, we got high quality structured big data. So then we could say, OK, how can we build next value proposition on that? So the most common cause of AI in the hospital is water imbalance. To assess that, we have archaic tools like stethoscope, requesting an echocardiogram which takes 24 hours, ultrasound. So then we integrate point of care ultrasound to assess volume status. So then we got support from Ericsson and the UAE government and a major ultrasound manufacturer. So we set up a point of care ultrasound academy in SSMC, first in UAE. Then the next level would be how to deliver better dialysis care and CRRT care. So we've got funding to set up the first CRRT training academy for whole of Africa and Asia in SSMC. So this is just one problem. We started working on that, and that developed growth and value for the organization. So coming to value-based healthcare, as a physician, am I going to be evaluated on the number of patients I see, or number of pre-completed high RVE notes I put in, or do I get evaluated on what new business opportunities I bring for SSMC? So now, these projects are in collaborations with Khalifa University, in collaboration with Mohammed bin Zayed AI University, which aligns with the leadership's goal to make this into the destination academic center. So all these organizations want to work with SSMC now because we have pure gold, like you said, structured, clean data, which even Mustafa Suleiman doesn't have on AKI. So what I was trying to say is physicians of the future will not be evaluated, oh, he does a great procedure. Is how does he bring growth and value for the organization? And thank you for the Cerner team and my colleagues here who helped us deliver this. Thank you.
Doctor, what do you think we need to do to get more physicians involved in this, to see the value of it, to help us push this forward?
Of course, the leadership is key. I've been very fortunate that I have a leader now. She understands what we need to do to reach the destination medical center. To become a destination medical center, we have to develop a local pipeline of data-centric physicians. So she happens to be the program director, Dr. Deanne Kashiwagi, who's here, who you'll meet. So what we said, how do we train the future workforce? So we introduce concepts of AI in healthcare at a much earlier age, incept these ideas, engineering safer care, deliver concepts of health systems engineering. We had a lecture series on cloud computing. We start them fresh and then build in these principles. I learned this at the age of 40, but these guys are going to live this healthcare, which we are talking about now in the next 10 years. These will be the future leaders of the health organizations. They'll be the future CEO, CMOs, and once they understand these, hopefully it will be transformative.
Now as we land to the last section of our discussion, and continuing with you, Engineer Azam, what are your views? What is your vision going forward? Where do you think us collectively in the Middle East and individually within your organization, what are we going to work on? Where are we going to get over the next 5 years?
Actually, from my organization, we spend around 3 years of deploying and implementing a powerful EMR system. And we identified our KPIs and reporting mechanism and identified the teams. What we have to do just to participate and try to engage everyone to take the responsibility of utilizing the data in their day-to-day jobs. To taste the flavor of our powerful EMR and the business intelligence tool. If we fail to do this, we spend 3 years for nothing. This is my point of view. For exchanging the information or exchanging the data and expediting the usage of data across Middle East or across maybe national level, What we need the data exists and scattered. We need an efforts to standardize the data, setting a policy and procedures to ensure the privacy of the data and security of this data. This is what I think for.
Thank you. What about you, Dr. Mohammed? Where do you see us here in the region, in the Middle East? Over the next 5 years, and what's going to take us to get there?
I think, my answer will be in twofold. The first fold will be investment on the maturity of the data and the local capabilities. I think that's what we need. We don't want to copy someone else's example. We want to drive our own example to make up the right conclusions based on what we have. And the second is we wanted to believe that we can automate a lot of procedures to run a hospital. If we can make a vehicle run itself, I think we can make the ICU unit run itself to diagnose the patient and alert if we have a patient length of stay exceeding certain amount, mortality prediction, and et cetera. So I think we should be heading towards that, hopefully.
We'll really look forward to that. Dr. Sadiq, what are your views? What is your vision, and how are we going to get there?
I think so. Healthcare is too important, and our healthcare organizations are too expensive to fail. To build a new healthcare organization costs the government billions of dirhams. I think so the government has increasingly realized that. They will drive a lot of innovation, and obviously the big companies realize what a huge opportunity healthcare provides, and they will definitely drive innovation. To your point that the doctors who adopt healthcare technology and data will replace doctors who don't, and I think that's very relevant. Historically, it was just legacy-based decision-making. This is how we've been doing things, but that won't be. The organization will be built data-centric, and every aspect, like Lulu, when before they open a shop, they will decide what will sell, what won't sell. Organizations, healthcare organizations will start departments which make money or where we have maximum value. And increasingly, the government will not just start paying for productivity in inverted commas, but how much value you add to the ecosystem and to the patient groups. So definitely all this requires shifting to the next level from data-driven to data-centric, that you start building every processes using data, and like our preceding speaker said, fail fast and develop new models of care which are actually effective. Thank you.
Definitely, I love this fail fast. Yeah. Let's do as much as we can now, and let's fail, because from that failure, we're gonna learn a lot. Dr. Ali, wrapping up with you, what is your vision and what is it going to take?
I mean, I'd like to echo the previous panelists. I think I agree with everything they've said. It would be nice if we stopped talking about data analytics like it's something special, right? I mean, that would be great for the future. It should be something like the lighting, right? Should the lighting work? Yes, we don't talk about the lighting, do we? It just works, right? It should be meaningful and seamless. We shouldn't be able to see it. The doctors or anyone else should be able to use data in their day-to-day life without actually consciously thinking, that's data analytics. I mean, we need to get there. And it needs a lot of find a way to better collaborate. I think we're trying to solve the same problems. We've got the same sort of capabilities. Rather than duplicate, how do we work together in an easy way? I think some are more ahead than others. But I think in networks like this, in events like this, but I think beyond those events, if we can try and collaborate and really solve the solutions for the region together, I think that will help us leapfrog other systems, definitely.
Thank you so much. And that's what I'd love to close with. All that remains is for me to thank you, Dr. Ali, Dr. Sadiq, Dr. Muhammad, Engineer Azam, for sharing your insights. Very, very helpful. Thank you again for listening and attention. Much appreciated.
Be sure to subscribe to Perspectives on Health and Tech on iTunes, Spotify, and Pandora. For more insights from industry experts, visit Cerner.com/perspectives. Want to chat about a topic? Share your thoughts and ideas at podcast@cerner.com or tag us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.